Amen. Thanks, guys. Fantastic. We're going to get stuck into it today, this next couple of Sundays, in regard to my church, which the more I've been preparing for today, the more I've felt actually it should be God's church, perhaps as our focus, but I think you get the idea. My church, meaning that we get ownership of what God's doing. We recognize this is our church together, that we're building, that we're doing. Obviously, God is the one who is the source and the finisher of all things. And so maybe the my/God church, or maybe God/my church, or however you want to put it, we'll get that thing going. But before we get into it, I want to encourage you. We've been away at Hillsong Conference this last week, which, as always, now I don't know if you know, but Heather and I have been going to Hillsong Conference for probably, we're trying to work it out, maybe 16 years or 17 years, something like that. And it's one of the things that we just put into the agenda every year. There's no question, there's no hesitation, no thinking about it. We just, there's a few things like that. Our state conference for the Assemblies of God that we belong to as a movement. We believe that where we belong is where we ought to be. And so every year we go to our state conference, our district retreat, our national conference every 2 years. We just put them in the diary, and one or both of us goes to those things every time. And Hillsong is one of those. It's about a spirit and an attitude of mind that it allows God to really speak into your life. And I want to encourage you. We had, I don't know, 17, 18 this year, which was great. And I just think as many as could possibly be there should be there. Just have a look at it. Look it up on the web. You can get the discounted registration until next weekend. And come and see us, because if you put Ross Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T, Ross Stewart, then we all get to sit together in reserve seating, so we don't have to line up and queue and all that stuff. We just walk in and sit down. And those who've been to Hillsong and in the big lines and stuff, you will know that that's just sort of second to being in heaven. It's just getting that reserve seating and be able to walk straight in and sit down. It's great. So if you want to do that, come and see any of the guys, myself or Heather or Jill or Kathleen, have been organizing some of that. So, and we can give you the information. You can get stuck into it. Okay? Fantastic. So this week we're looking at the My Church Week, and particularly, this is just unbelievably significant. I don't know that I'm going to be able to get across this morning the significance of where we're at right now in the life of our church. I'm just not sure that I'm going to be able to communicate and that people can get it. If we think about where we're up to in the life of the church, I think about, as I was thinking about this, I think about, like, there's some guys in Chronicles, the sons of Issachar, who came to help establish David as king. And it says of them, it says that they knew the time and the season and what Israel should do. And I just have a feeling that there are, maybe all of us will get it, or maybe it'll only be a few, I don't know, but there are going to be people who are going to really get this and understand that we are in a time and a season that is really critical to the life of our church. This is actually about what our church will look like, and I don't mean the physical church. The physical buildings and facilities, they only serve the church, which is the person sitting next to you and you and me. We're the church, and these physical buildings only serve the church. But what we're coming to now will largely determine what we look like as a church over the next 5 to 10 years. This is a significant season in the life of our church. It started about 6 to 12 months ago as God stirred us up and made us realize that we had to put an end point. We've been talking for some time about buying a building and getting into our own facility. And God stirred us up, me particularly, but others as well, and said, you've got to put an end point on this. You've got to set a goal. You've got to have it there. Otherwise, this thing could dribble on for an eternity. And I just felt moved by the Holy Spirit about 6 or 12 months ago that we had to set our agenda on this phase of church life. And so we did that. And some people, a handful of people, gathered together and said, look, we want to commit ourselves to making this happen. And there's a group of people that have met together and are seeking God. And I looked at that group of people and I realized we got no millionaires. We got no high-flying business people. We got nobody that you would normally rely on for those, you know, huge offerings that would get us over the line of where we got to go. But as I looked around that group of people, and as I look around here this morning, I see a group of people who are hungry for the purpose of God. I see a group of people who want to see the kingdom move forward. A group of people who are committed not only to building an organizational church, but are committed to the reaching of lost people, committed to the reaching of a community and the extension of the kingdom of God. And I say to myself, well, God can do that through those people. We don't need the high-flying business person. We don't need the multimillionaire who keeps it all to themselves. We don't need all that. What we need is a group of people who have it in their heart to do something great for the kingdom of God. I was reflecting on the times and the seasons of church life. Our church has known about four seasons of activity. As many of you know, Heather and I and the kids planted the church here 18 years ago, or a little bit more. I think the only one with us now from that day, where is he? Over there, Mr. Colin Green, as a 5 or 6 year old young man without any choice on his own part. Was brought along, I think, the second Sunday or third Sunday of church. And so 18 years ago we started. And those first 3 years of church life, there was a battle over the existence of this church. As we reflect on it now, I didn't really realize it then. I just thought we were having a horrible time. But nothing went right. Everything went wrong. Nothing according to what I thought of the vision and the direction, the sort of heart that I had for what God was going to do. And we landed here in Wollongong with our family. And God just looked after us in terms of our own family and provision, all that sort of stuff. But in terms of the life of the church, oh, it was just unbelievable disaster after disaster. You know, anything you could do wrong in church planting, we managed to do it and learned a whole lot of things. But it was just heartache and heaviness. And I realize now that what was going on is for 3 years, the devil was trying to stamp this thing out before it even started. That's what was going on. So the first phase in the life of our church was a battle for the existence of the church. And then there was 1 year, which was a very short phase, where God said, okay, now we're going to go. And in 1 year, God brought in people, some that we knew, some we didn't know, some from interstate, some from locally, and God built a team of people who are going to be committed to building the church. That was the second phase, and things began to accelerate and move along. People were being reached, and people were being won, and people were being gathered together and joined together and knit together. And then following that, we moved into a new facility, which was the community center over there in Coram. Well, a miracle of God. The council built a multi-million dollar facility, and we were the first people in, and we were the dominant user of that facility for, I don't know, several years. And God just opened an opportunity for us to build and to establish in the life of our church. And a number of people who are here came to our church in that phase of church life. A number here actually got saved in the community center as we were serving God in the community and doing God's work. And God was establishing his church. And we got to a certain point of growth and life that we had experienced before and that we were comfortable with, we knew all about. And the church grew to that point, and then we faced a challenge. Are we going to go beyond what we've known before and get some growth and some multiplication of leadership and the church to move forward? And God then moved us into a new phase. And that was a phase of breakthrough and expansion, that God would work and get us beyond ourselves and release ministry and leadership in the life of our church. And through our fantastic life group leaders, give them a big cheer, our fantastic life group leaders, what happened was the effectiveness of the church began to multiply. And we saw life groups establish, and we saw new ministries get going. We saw some people start to rise up into ascension ministry and leadership. So that now in the life of our church, many of us are not connected as it was in the old days to the pastor, you know, the pastoral couple, but now people are connected to each other in fellowship and in commitment and in life. And it's no longer a little church where everybody wants the pastor to pray for them. Everybody wants the pastor to visit them. There's none of that sort of stuff going on. There's no personality-focused, you know, weirdo, cult-centric sort of deal going on as there is in some small churches. But rather there's this thing where the body of Christ says, we'll care for each other, we'll love each other, and we're on a mission together to plant the church of God. And we saw breakthrough. And our church grew and established, and we began to break some of those barriers. Now, that brings us to this phase. And a part of that phase, by the way, was our move into this facility, which has released ministries. And I'm just so excited by the people who have had the same pioneering spirit as our church was begun with, who are now pioneering in all kinds of areas. All kinds of areas in the community, all kinds of areas in the life of the church, who are pioneering ministries that they get in their heart and say, this is a need that I want to address. And that pioneering spirit is there. To say, we want to expand, we want to grow. It's not dependent on one leadership couple, but rather it's dependent on the leading of the Holy Spirit and the work of the body of Christ. That's an incredible step forward in the life of any church. And exciting to see that happen in the life of our church some years ago. And so God's taken us there, and now he brings us to this place where the question is asked, what kind of church will this be into the future? What kind of church? Are we happy to stop now? Is it us four and no more? Are we happy? The church is now just, I can just about know everybody, although that's sort of getting beyond that, but I can just about know everybody in the church. I can have sort of an awareness of who they are. Or are we prepared to say, it doesn't matter, we have got to reach a community. We've got to reach lost people. We've got to get beyond ourselves. We've got to break out of this, and we've got to establish something for the future that's going to define a greater effectiveness in what God has got for us. And that's the season we're in right now. And God is wanting to do something in our hearts and our lives. He's wanting to build something deep within us. He's wanting us to take some steps of faith that will change the way we view life and ministry. We'll actually expand our thinking and break us out of smallness into largeness, and will allow us to establish what he wants in our community. Amen? In this period of time, we will move into our own facility. We will buy a place, or we will build a place, or whatever we will do, but we will move into our own facility that will be established. It won't be a daggy warehouse that we've tried to do up as best we can, but rather it'll be purpose-built. It'll be finished. The sound guys won't have to any longer battle with demons in the sound system every week. These guys are the greatest men and women of faith that we have in the church, because every week they come here, I see them, and they're laying their hands on all the gear and saying, Jesus, this thing is dead, but you can raise the dead. And so they're raising the dead sound system every week. And when the buzzers and the gremlins come through the system, they go, oh, thank you, Jesus. You're great in power and in might, and you can overcome anything. You can. I'm not kidding. They do. And they overcome, and they do more with less like nobody I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. But I tell you what, we are heading into a time where that, as wonderful as that is no longer going to be the case. Where we rise up and we take our stand and we take our place for the future that God has for us in this city. And we actually put our stake in the ground and we say, this is us. This is City Life. We are not a pioneer church anymore. We are not just trying and getting by. We are not just, it'll do and just good enough. But rather we're saying, this is who we are. We stand for God. We stand for his excellence and for his glory. And we are going to put a stake in the ground. That's what's going to happen in this time. In this time, we will probably plant other churches as well, as God raises up people who have got a heart for him, who have a heart to plant. And so we will send out. At a time when it would be easier to withhold, we are going to be sending out. And some people are going to go, how can we do that? We're trying to pay all these bills. We're trying to pay mortgages. We're trying to do that. And we will say to them, well, we're here to extend the kingdom of God. We're here to do what God calls us to do, and we're going to do it regardless of the circumstance. This is a new season in the life of our church. I can see some of you are getting it, and some of you are going, what the heck is going on? We will get it. And enough people will get it, like the sons of Issachar, who will know the time and the season and what Israel needs to do. And they will step up, and they will say, I recognize God's at work here. God is doing something. There is something going. Others will sit around, and they'll question and wonder and all of that, and that's great. And God bless you and enjoy the ride. But there are those who are going to really get it in their heart and are going to go, I know what this is about. This is the time to step up. This is the time to step up.
We began that about 6 to 12 months ago, and we got that group together and we encouraged all of us to be thinking about what we can do. And then God accelerated. In fact, he didn't accelerate his program, but he got us up to speed with where he was at a few weeks ago when that property that you saw was given to us by our state executive. And in one fell swoop, we got more than half of the resource that's required to do what we need to do. And from a I want you to understand that from a beginning point where we had no idea how we were going to, we were looking at $1 million project plus, and we were thinking, well, we've got to raise at least half of that. And we were looking around going, we've got no idea how that's going to happen. Can we understand that before there was any prospect of anything on the horizon, the Holy Spirit was speaking to us and saying, now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. Set your face. Set your agenda. Make sure you're on the. And I want you to get that that's the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit sets that. He sets the agenda. And we're going, we don't know how this is going to work. And yet here we are, and we're 6-12 months into a 3-year program, and already God is amazingly at work among us. And that leaves us with the amount that we need to get together. We don't know exactly how much it is. We're working, crunching numbers and trying to figure things out. There's a whole lot of stuff that we've got to do. But in my heart, I just feel like over this 12 months that we need to raise another $150,000 to get us into the ballpark of where we need to be. Now, I need to say to you that the most we've raised previously, I don't really know the exact figures, but the most we've raised in the last couple of years is probably around about $30,000 in this process of building funds. So I'm talking 5 times or more what we've done before. But the reason I put it out there is because I just sense the working of God. I sense that God is doing something. In fact, Blind Freddy could probably tell you that God's doing something when a whole building is gifted to a church. And God says, it's about time. You know, the state executive guys ring me up and they say, we want to give you this facility. We've got one requirement, and that is that you use the proceeds to build a facility. And I said, no problem. No problem. The Holy Spirit's been talking to us the last 6 to 12 months and saying that's exactly what we've got to do. God's in this. And so I put it out there. And see, I know that someone's going to give $50,000. I know that someone's going to give 20 or 30 or 10. I know. And those that perhaps before have felt the restriction and the tightness of dreams and visions that haven't been fulfilled, there's going to be a release. And it won't be by striving, and it won't be by stressing, but it will be by the anointing and the blessing of God. There are going to be people here among us today, and God is going to prompt you in the Holy Ghost. He's going to prompt you. And he's going to say, do this or do that or do the other. And his hand is just going to rest lightly on it, and it's just going to be blessed. Yeah. And there are those sitting among us who are going to give large sums into this building process. Yeah. There are those who are going to make it happen. Yeah. I think it's exciting. Yeah, absolutely. The scripture tells me that the work is done when every part does its share. Yeah. Not according to what they don't have, but according to what they have. And those who have little will probably give proportionally more than those who have much. That's probably the truth. That those who have little, they won't give a great deal in actual sort of physical amount, but it will be large compared to what they have. And those who have something, and those who have resource, and those who have asset and availability, they will give a great amount. But every part will do its share. And you and I, we will see over the next 12 months, we will see some miracles. We'll see God do some stuff in people's lives that we haven't seen before because God's at work. Are some of you getting that? Some are just going, oh, gee, I don't know about any of them. Those who thought before what the heck's going on now, they're going, oh, please. We need to get in our heart. It's a heart thing. It's not an external thing. It's not a striving and an effort thing. It's a thing of the heart. The word that God put in my heart for today, and I haven't got to my notes yet, but the word that God put in my heart for today is the word to consecrate ourselves. I got that scripture, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. At various times in the history of God's people, God says to them, consecrate yourselves. And what he's saying is, he's saying, get ready. There's something happening. And sometimes it was that they had done sinful stuff and they needed to get sorted out. Sometimes it was the coming of his presence. Sometimes it was the provision that he was about to make. But every time that something significant was going to happen, he would say, consecrate yourself. And what it really meant, the word actually means to be set apart. When it comes to offering, it means to fill your hand with something that's set apart to God. That's what consecrate means. And he would say to them, consecrate yourself. Because I'm about to do something. I'm about to come and meet with him. I'm about to come and pour out my spirit. I'm about to come and do something among you. So consecrate yourself. And I went back and I had a look at some scriptures around this area of consecrate yourself. And sorry, guys, but I'm going all over the place. You just have to keep up. And I started seeing what that consecrate was all about. And it begins, and it's the best explanation is given with the priesthood. It's Exodus chapter 29, which we don't have up there and you won't have time to read. But go home and read it through. The consecrating of the priests to set them apart for the service of God. Now, the ones who enjoyed that the most were the priests, and the ones who enjoyed it the least were the bull and the two rams who had to die in the process. Okay? So they got a bull and they got two rams. And they killed the bull and they put the blood on the altar so that the sin of the priest, the sin of the man, wasn't held accountable to him, but rather God would take it. And then they got that man, and they washed him, and they dressed him in a garment that was set apart to God, and they anointed him with oil to represent the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And then they took a ram, and they killed the ram, and they washed all the internal organs and all the stuff, and they burnt on the altar that offering to the Lord to set apart the man for God, to say symbolically, the sin is taken away, and all that this person has is given to you. The ram is burnt on the altar instead of the guy being burnt on the altar. But the symbolism is everything I have is now consecrated to God. And then they take the second ram, who thought he was getting away with it because his mate got chopped instead of him. But he said, no, 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 you're going to get the chop as well. And they would chop that ram, and then they would take the blood and the oil, representing the blood of Jesus and the oil of the Holy Spirit, and they would sprinkle it on this person who was washed clean with clean robes, set apart to God. And the only thing that could be seen apart from all the cleansing was the blood and the oil. The blood of Jesus and the oil of the Holy Spirit. What does consecration mean? It means that someone sets themselves apart and says, there will be nothing seen in my life except the blood of Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what I give myself for. That's what consecration is. It's get yourself ready because the Spirit of God is about to come. Get yourself ready because God is about to do a work in your life. And the example is given to us of the priests who were consecrated to the Lord. I don't want to have time, because I'm not watching the time, but I know I'm going to run out. So I don't have time today to go. The other fantastic story about consecration was when the people of Israel came to receive the word of God, and God said to Moses, he said, consecrate the people, because tomorrow I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up on the mountain. And the cloud came down on the mountain and the lightning burst and the whole thing happened and people became incredibly fearful. But every man and every household had to set themselves apart and ready themselves to receive the word of God. And God came and spoke to Moses and gave the word of God to the people. And the scripture said that they had to consecrate themselves because God was showing up. The sense that I have is that we need to consecrate ourselves because God is about to do a work among us and we need to engage with that work. And I want to say to you, it is not about money. It's going to be measured largely by money, but it's not about money. I just felt so strongly God say to me, we've got to raise significant money, and money will be the measure of what happens over the next 12 months or so, and every one of us will watch it, and we'll be interested to see, and we'll be excited to see, and we'll be challenged, and we'll have uncertainty and fears and doubts, and all that stuff's going to go on for everybody, and that will sort of be a focus and a measure. But God spoke to me so strongly and said, this is not about money. It's actually about the heart. It's actually about the heart. Is the heart consecrated to the purpose of God? Is the heart consecrated to the purpose of God? So that I can sense from the Holy Spirit, there's a time, there's a season, God's at work what do I need to do? I need to prepare myself for what God's doing. And you can come to the scripture now. 1 Chronicles 29. Here we see when the people of God had to build a permanent house for the presence of God. I'm really intrigued by the correlation between church planting and the progress of the people of Israel. Because they came out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, where there was effectively no church, you know, nobody, they were under oppression. And then God delivered them, which is kind of like the church plant, where things get started and people get delivered and you get people saved and away you go. And you know what they did then? They built a temporary dwelling for the house of God. And you know what I feel? I feel like for the last 18 years, we've been in temporary dwellings. Even though we've had this place and we can use this and we're permanently here, but it doesn't belong to us. And we could lose this at any moment. The council nearly kicked us out a few years ago. And we had to fight our way through and maintain the use of the place and all that sort of stuff. And what I sense is that from the beginning until now, we've been in temporary dwellings. And we did that a couple of years ago. We raised, I think, 30 grand or so to fit out this place. And people gave and sacrificed and got in. And how many people were hanging off scaffolding and stuff, building? How many? Give me a wave. Those who actually climbed the scaffold. That gentleman over there in the cream, he and I probably risked our lives the most. I remember a day with Mr. Struthers' nice wooden ladder that we put up to reach stuff in the ceiling, putting up these rotten things up the top there that aren't used anymore. Thank you very much. And he and I climbing up on those things and half nearly. And I remember the day, and don't tell anybody from OH&S, but I remember the day when that nice rickety wooden ladder was put onto a couple of chairs, you know, so that we could actually reach the higher bits, because the ladder itself wasn't quite high enough. And we just made sure nobody was watching, and we just sort of climbed the ladder, and thank you, Jesus. And people gave, and people sacrificed, and people worked. I remember seeing the video. I think it was young Josh Whalen here, who was young in those days. And I think I came back from being overseas or something when people had been working on this, and I saw this video of somebody up a ladder with a shifting spanner driving in nails. I think it was you. I'm not quite sure. And driving it, and I thought, well, you know, that shows ingenuity. That's the can-do spirit that we like. But I'm thinking, couldn't we just get a hammer? But anyway, not to worry. And people gave, and people sacrificed, and people worked hard, and you know, but all of that, and that's what happened with the people of Israel. They did all that, and yet they came, it was all temporary dwellings. It was temporary dwellings. And all the time we've been here, we've been saying, well, we want to invest in what's happening here. We want to make this the best that we can, but this is not where we're going to be long term. And I remember maybe a year or so ago, we wanted to replace the carpet because those lovely young people that like to ride their skateboards and scooters and wreck the place, which I notice there's marks everywhere again. We went through this thing. Are we going to replace the carpet or not? Is it worth it? We know that God's moving. We know we're moving forward, but we've got to do, you know, we're going to be good here as well. And I want to tell you that a small percentage of what we do over the next little while will be spent in keeping this up to speed. Because we, and one of the leaders that we had come and speak to us, he said to me, well, you know, your mother might be old, but you'd still buy her a new dress. And that was his way of saying to me, you know, make sure you look after the place you're in. And I really received that from the Lord. And I thought, that's true. We've got to actually try to be at the sort of, you know, close anyway, to the standard that we want to be in our current place. But we'll be careful with all that. We'll be very, very careful because we know where we're heading. We know what's important. And so we've done that, and it's been like a temporary dwelling. But then the people of Israel came to a point in time where they were going to have a permanent place to worship God, a permanent place so that God could put his presence. And this is all in the heart of God. This is what God was stirring up among them. It's time to do this. And King David was the guy who had it stirred up in his heart to prepare that place. And 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1 to 5, records what was in their heart when they consecrated themselves for that purpose. And I want us to get a couple of things out of this today. It says, King David said to this whole assembly, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. It's a generational transfer. David had it in his heart to build the temple, to build the house. But God said, because you've been in so much warfare and there's so much blood on your hands, you can't do it. But your son will build the house. And one of the great and exciting things that we see in the life of our church, particularly over the last probably 5 to 10 years, is the raising up of sons, both natural sons and spiritual sons, who have come up in the house of God and are doing fantastic jobs. Amen? Fantastic mob of young people who are just serving God and building. They probably could get a hand, you know. You could give a clap to the Lord or to them, either way, but you could probably do it right now. God's at work. Come on, wake up. Start to get it. Sons of Issachar knew the times and the seasons. It's about now and it's about the generation to come. It's both. It's not one or the other. It's both. That God's working now and he's wanting to do something for the generations ahead. David understood this. And he says, oh, my son is the one who's going to, I'm not talking necessarily my physical sons, but the sons of the house are going to build the house. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron. I'm interested that he has to tell them to use the gold for the gold work. Don't be using the gold for the iron structures, okay? I don't know whether there's just so much gold, they thought, I don't know, I'll just make a pylon out of it. But anyway, he was very specific with them. Iron for the iron and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise stones, various colors, all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. He'd been gathering that. He'd been storing that up for the building of the house. And then he goes on, he says, besides that stuff, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver. What's David doing? He's emptying the treasures of the kingdom for the purpose of God. Both the treasures of the physical kingdom of Israel and of his own treasures. And he is emptying out all of his treasures for the building of the house of God. It's an amazing image of a man dedicated to the purpose of God. Besides, in my devotion, gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I provided for the holy temple, 3,000 talents of gold. I mean, that's a massive amount. Like, you can, if you, I haven't done the sums to figure it out, but I know how much a talent is worth in today's thing, and that is huge. That is actually a massive investment. Have a look at it yourself. Gold of 7,000 talents of refined silver, etc., etc. For the gold work and the silver work, for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? David says, he basically says, I'm emptying my house for the purpose of God. And then he says, who's willing to consecrate themselves? Who is willing to fill their hand for the purpose of God? Who is willing to separate themselves and say, okay, I am now committed to the purpose of God? That's the word I believe that God has for us today. There's two applications of that that I see. The first is David says, I think it's in verse 2, he says, all my resources. In the New King James, the old version of the Bible, I like it better. I actually generally like it better. And it just says, all my might. He says, with all my might, I've prepared for the house of God. And the first point that I want us to take away from a consecration is to say, it's going to require all my strength. All my strength. The Shema, which was the confession of the people of Israel, the thing that Jesus quoted out of Deuteronomy, when they say, what's the greatest command of all? What did he say? He says, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. I tell you now, those who are going to join with us in doing this great thing that God's calling us to do, they're going to do so with all their strength. It's not going to be half-hearted. It's not going to be half-strength. It's not going to just be a little bit on the side, because that's not going to cut it. But there are going to be people who, with all their strength, say, by the grace of God, I'm going to make this happen. That's what David's saying to them. He's saying, are you prepared to make this happen? It's an awesome place for someone to commit themselves and to say, I am going to make this happen. I'm not the only one. It's not through my own strength and ability. It's the grace of God. It's his blessing. It's his grace. There's nothing I can do on my own. If I'm going to do it on my own, then we might as well be a surf club or a bowling club, and we're not. There's no pokies, and there's no beer and wine being sold. There's no lotto and lucky dip and keno and all that. So we're not a bowling club. We're not a surf club. We're not dependent on what people can do. We're dependent on what God can do. We're looking for miracles. We're looking for God's blessing to flow. And you know that blessing will flow with those who say, I will do this with all my strength. It's not just a side issue for me anymore. this has now become the focus of my life. I'm not just talking about a building. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. This has become my focus. There's nothing else. I've taken off the old clothes, like the priest, and I've washed myself of the world, and I've put on the new clothes that represent the purity of God, and I've allowed the blood of Jesus to take away my sin. I've allowed the oil of the Holy Spirit to anoint me, and now I have a set focus. And that set focus is to build the kingdom of God. And David said to them, who's prepared to consecrate themselves? It's going to take all your strength. Not your striving, all your strength. It's a different thing. Amen? The second one I find in verse 3, and he says in verse 3, in my devotion. Again, in the New King James, it says, because I have set my affection. Because I have set my affection on the house of God, then I'm going to empty out my own treasures in order to make it happen, in order to build the house of God. And that's the second part of what Jesus said. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. With all your heart and soul, given to the purpose of God. Some people will make the mistake of saying he's talking about a building. Some people will make that. They'll make that mistake. Some people will. And some people might even harbor some negativity in their heart. And I just pray you keep it to yourself. Sort yourself out before God. Some people will. And they're like, well, it's a building. And they'll miss it. And they won't realize that we're talking about a time and a season in the building of God's church. Not God's church universal. God's church local. And we're part of the universal thing. But this is actually very personal. Where God says, I'm taking you on a journey. I'm taking you on your own journey through the wilderness and into the promised land. And you're going through your own phase of temporary dwellings and hassles and dramas. And I'm taking you into a place of permanence. I'm taking you into a place where you can represent me in a city. You can represent my name, my honor, and my glory. And with many other churches in the city, you will represent me well. And that's what God's saying to us right now. Are we prepared to engage a season where God says, will you rise up and consecrate yourself to what God has called you to do? This is not a small thing. The sense I have from the Holy Spirit is this is possibly the greatest corporate challenge that we have faced to date. To get this done requires a step and a level of faith that many of us have not exerted up to this point. And God is calling us to say, will you step up? Will you consecrate yourself and step into a place of faith and believing and stepping out and looking forward and sacrifice? Will you do it? We've got no bull and no ram. The sacrifice has been made by Jesus already. And the question now is, am I prepared to step in and take my place in what God's got to do? Amen? Some will fast. Some will pray. Some will walk around buildings as I do and walk around areas and pray and seek God. Some will get it so in their spirit they'll be like maniacs and nothing else will matter to them over the next 12 months or so. Their every waking moment will be occupied with how can I raise the dollars to make this happen. I'm telling you now, this is what's going to happen. There are people who are going to get this in their hearts so much that it just won't let them go. And over the next 6 to 12 months, that is going to dominate their thinking and their life. I tell you now, this is going to transform some people here today. It's going to transform you from a place of your own self and the building of your own house into what God has always intended for you, and that is the resourcing of the kingdom of God. The scripture talks about a gift of giving. Now, how many know that you can't give what you don't have? So those who are going to have a gift of giving, what have they got to have? They've got to have stuff to give. And God is going to, he's going to work in the people here with gifts of giving. And God is going to work in your heart. And you will eat and sleep and drink this over the next little period of time. I'm telling you, you'll go to bed and God will speak to you in your dreams. You'll wake up and it'll be on your mind. Because I know this. Because when you plant a church, when you serve the kingdom of God, you eat, sleep, dream it. That's the way it works. And what God's saying to us now is there's a whole bunch of people who are going to start rising up like that and see God do his work. The question I have is the same question as David had. Verse 5, second half. It says, now who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? Who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? This is for a particular purpose, not just for some generalized thing. This is for a particular purpose. Who is prepared to consecrate himself today? I sought God. I said, well, God, what are we going to do? I'm not going to kill rams and bulls to consecrate people. It's not appropriate to do that. I might have done that. I thought about doing it. I thought, go outside and knock off a couple of sheep. And I thought, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How can we? I thought about maybe getting white, you know, cloaks, and we'd all drape them in oil and all that. And I just felt like God was saying to me, it's a simple step in people's hearts. The question is out there. Now, who is willing to consecrate themselves today to what God has called us to do? Why don't we stand together? Thank you, Jesus. Actually, just guys, just leave it. Just don't worry about it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We've got other stuff we're going to do in a minute, but just right now, we're just going to take this moment. And I just want you to think about what I've been saying. I want you to just listen to God for a moment. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And I want you to start getting it. And when you start to really get what God's doing among us, when you start to understand the season that we're in and what it's going to take to move forward into the opportunity that God's put before us, to recognize he's already gone before and he's already done some amazing stuff, but there's more to come. As you start, then begin to consecrate yourself today. Begin to set aside in your own heart and life. Begin to say in your own heart and life, I'm committed to this. I'm not just on the sideline cheering. I'm not just saying, oh, that's a great idea and good luck with it. I'm not saying that. In my heart, I'm saying, I'm going to make this happen. By the grace of God, I'm committing myself to this. I don't know how much I'm going to be able to do. I don't know how little. That doesn't matter. But in my heart, I'm saying, God, I recognize that we're in a new season. I recognize we're in a new season. And it's not about bricks and mortar and it's not about money. It's about the extension of your kingdom. You're doing something and I recognize it and I open my heart to it and I commit to it. If that's on your heart today, then I want you to get ready right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I wonder if we can maintain an attitude of prayer. I wanted to do something physical, but I don't want people just looking around. So just maintain that attitude of prayer and let people have this time with God. But if you're in that place where you know that today you're ready to consecrate yourself, you're ready to really dedicate to this purpose with us over the next 12 months, I want you to raise your hands to the Lord. Because we're going to say to God together, we're in this. We're in this. Lord, whatever it takes, whatever you call us to, whatever it is that you put on our hearts, we're in this. This is our heart. This is our desire. Father God, I thank you for every one of your people today. And each one of us, Lord, in our own way, we just are committing ourselves to this purpose. Lord, we do want to set ourselves apart today. We want to consecrate ourselves today to this purpose. We recognize what you're doing. We recognize that your hand is on us. We recognize that there's a new season for us that we've just started out in, and it's going to require of us some strength and some devotion. And we've come today to say we're willing to give it. We're willing to give it. We want to give it. It's not about money. We recognize that. We recognize it's about heart. It touches everything in our walk with you. It touches our daily devotional time. It touches our life group attendance. It touches our support of other people, our commitment, our general offerings. It touches everything. You're asking us to step up in our consecration to you. And Lord, we're saying we're willing. We're willing. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. And Father, as we do that today, I want to pray particularly for those who have that gift of giving. And together we want to lift those people up that have that gift and have that capacity. And Father, we want to, all of us, we want to pray for those people that you would embolden them encourage them, and bless them. And we thank you for each one, and we pray, Father, you continue to bring your blessing. And I thank you that whether it be the person with a gift or whether it be the person who is just faithful to your call, that every one of us will do our share. We commit that to that today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. As we're praying, we want to give people opportunity to get right with God. If you're not in a place of relationship with God, but you recognize you need to be, you recognize that you live your life just any way you please, and you have no reference to God, but you have an awareness inside yourself, even right now, that God is real, and if you faced him today, then you would have only his judgment to contend with. If you recognize that's who you are, that you're in that place today, and your heart's not right with God, and you're not dedicated to him, you're not set apart to him, then I'm speaking to you today, and I'm telling you that Jesus died for you. He gave himself for you so that when you face God, you don't have to face his judgment. You can actually receive his grace, his love. You can be in relationship with God, but you have to make a step. You have to ask him to forgive you for living your own way and doing your own thing. And you have to actually accept what Jesus has done for you. While we're praying, we're going to pray together. And we're going to help those who want to pray that prayer today and give themselves to God. If you're ready to ask God to forgive you, to come into your life, to give your life to him, then we're going to pray with you right now. So get yourself ready to pray. Let's all pray together out loud. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Those of you who prayed that prayer today and you meant it and you want to do something about it, we have some very simple Bible studies here that will help you to understand the Word of God and his purpose for your life. And ask the person who brought you, your friend is in church today, ask them to help you to go and see the hosts, and they'll give you one of these. And ask that person if they will actually help you to go through that together. Our life groups will do that. Our life group leaders will help you. But ask your friend and say, would you help me with this? I want to learn how to know God. So ask them to help you and grab that and get stuck into it. We have today the My Church cards. They're on your seat. And why don't you grab one and wave it around a little bit? Okay, I don't know which bit you're supposed to keep. I was just trying to figure that out. Keep the big bit. All right. So you fill out this here. This is what we're talking about. This is our pledges towards this new building that we're doing together. I wonder if you might throw those pictures up. You can see them up the back there on the display, but isn't that exciting? We're not sure whether we're actually going to have the skate ramp. It's quite a large one. We're not quite sure, but it looks nice in the picture, doesn't it, really? And it's exciting. Thanks to Adrian for that. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give you a visual image of what is possible. And we're saying this is where we're at. The auditorium in that will seat about 250. It allows us to have a church of about 500 people with multiple services. It's a very sensible next step for us as a church. Beyond that, we'll just keep seeking God about what he wants to do. But we're going to set our agenda on the next sensible step for us as a church as he leads and guides. So you can fill those out. I'm just wondering now, should we do that right now or maybe wait? I think we should too. That's what I was thinking. So we're going to do that. I want you to take that home. I want you to seek God. I just want you to be serious about this. And I just want you, you've got an opportunity there to put in a time. We're aiming for, the initial thing, maybe for a couple of months, August, September, that you'll have that time. Some of you, though, I think will get a sense of 12 months. Try not to just put everything out for 12 months. But I feel like some of you will genuinely get a sense of the next 12 months. And you'll get a sense of what God is really putting on your heart. And I want you to put that in there. So maybe you might do two things, an immediate thing, and then a longer term. Maybe the immediate thing will be a seed, maybe of $1,000 or $2,000, whatever. A seed that will say, well, this is what I'm giving as a seed. But over the next 12 months, I think there's something bigger that God's doing in my heart. Give us an indication of that. We want to pray with you over that. We want to believe together with you. We're not going to come around and say, where's the money? That's not what this is about. This is not about striving. This is about seeking the heart and the blessing of God. Amen? This is not just about your tax return. This is not about some, you know, weird. This is about what's God doing in your heart and life. Amen? Someone just saying down the front, you can give your tax return if you want. No, it's not about that. It's your heart. It's your heart with God. That's what it's about. Go seek it. Bring it back next week or the week after. We're going to be focused on this just the next couple of weeks. Let God speak. I know He's speaking. He's already speaking to me about next week and some stuff. I'm speaking at the Sunday night next week as well. And God's already put a word in my heart for that meeting. In fact, I'm going to invite everybody to come to that meeting because God's already put a word in my heart for that one. Seek God. Father, we just understand that You're doing something among us. You're doing something among us. And we ask that You lead us and guide us by Your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.